Word of God, which we shall consider briefly this morning, is recorded by the Holy Ghost in our first lesson from the book of St. James, the third chapter. In Jesus' name, amen. Let not many of you become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. I don't think these are the kind of words that we'd like to print on the cover of our seminary's recruitment brochures or send out into the church to try to get any new pastors for the church. I doubt that there are a few of you who would choose a text like this one from James chapter 3, verse 1, to have preached for your ordination or your installation. These are very uncomfortable words, uncomfortable ones indeed. Whether we're just studying to be pastors or whether we're already pastors in God's church. I suppose most of us already have enough doubts or concerns about our suitability, our sufficiency, and so on, to be pastors in God's church, without the Holy Ghost here shaking his finger in our nose and saying, "Do you really have what it takes, brother, to be a pastor in my church? You better think about it all over again. For you know, don't you, that teachers are going to be judged more strictly than everybody else." Well, I think God has good reason for warning us in this text, and I think there just might not be any better place than right here in this seminary to consider this little text. For this is where we are being trained, we who will use words to influence people. We all have within us the potential to cause untold damage in God's church by what we say, consciously or unconsciously. You know, our secular friends around us here in America don't have to be told how important words are and how careful you have to be in what you say. I suppose our presidential candidates are already getting started in the game. They start earlier every year. They're worried already about what they say and how they'll be quoted in the newspapers and in the media. And I doubt that any of us here today have to be reminded either of how much a pastor influences people by what he says. I remember once when I was a pastor a few years ago, and my associate was preaching, and I was out in the congregation with my wife, and he walked in, and I heard a little boy right behind me point up there. You've probably heard children say this before. "Look, Mommy, there's God." And of course, we might laugh at that child a little bit who looked at that pastor as God himself. And yet that child had a bit of wisdom in that, because many people view their pastor as speaking for them, speaking for God to them. And it's easy to make a terrible mistake as a pastor in what you say. Some mistakes aren't so bad. You've all heard of little bumbles that a pastor makes. I remember once my pastor years ago, he was preaching in his sermon. He came up to this roaring conclusion. And he said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be damned. Amen." And sat down, and his wife about had a stroke at that point. But he didn't remember what he said. Just slipped by him. Well, I think most of us put the best construction on that one. But you know, you look down through the history of the church and you see what great damage has been done by some people in what they say. You have Arius back there a few centuries who, with his words, just about destroyed Christ's church with his subtle denial of the full deity of our Lord Christ. Then you have Zwingli, who with his words once again subtly denied, maybe not so subtly, denied the real true presence of our Lord's body and blood in the sacrament and caused the division that we still see in the church today. And of course, you have Antichrist himself, who in Luther's day with his words caused division in the church and today still uses his words to influence the majority of Christendom. Is it little wonder then that in this text, James uses this picture for the tongue? He calls it a fire, which like a little spark in a dry forest can burst into an inferno in seconds, in moments. I hope none of us here would presume to think that these words don't include us, that we are different from most people. We're able to control our tongues. We're able to speak perfectly. St. James here writes, if anybody makes no mistakes in what he says, he's a perfect man. James here isn't saying there really is such a person. I suppose he's challenging us, if you have the guts to think you are, stand up and see what happens. Yes, I think the Holy Spirit has good reason here for causing these words to be recorded in his word here. And he has good reason for wanting this text to be read right here in this place at this time to people like you and me, pastors. We must all hear this warning, for we all have, since the day we were conceived, something behind our tongue that causes the problem. And you know what that is. It's our sinful heart. How did Jesus put it? Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, blasphemies. And he goes on in his terribly embarrassing list, but true. And again he says, from the abundance of one's heart, the mouth speaks. God's law permits none of us to slip out from under its condemnation. None of us here. St. James here bluntly says we all sin in many ways. And our human nature doesn't like that little Greek word, hapantes. All. We all sin in many ways. We are all guilty under this text. Weak, imperfect sinners, and God's law thunders down on us, and it's not very comfortable. We shall be judged more strictly than others. We who teach. How did Jesus put it? Scary. You shall give account someday of every word you say. Well, if that's the case, who of us here has the guts to become a pastor? Has not St. James effectively destroyed the entire pastoral ministry? For if we all sin and are imperfect in what we say, who is left who would take up the mantle of Elijah and be a pastor? Oh no, brothers, the Holy Ghost has not destroyed the ministry. For until our Lord returns, it will be God's will through the foolishness of preaching to save people. The Holy Spirit is not calling us away from the ministry. He's calling us away, you know it, from ourselves. He is calling us away from that pride within us that gets in the way of God's wisdom. As he writes in his first chapter, if any of you lacks wisdom, and all of us do, he says, let us ask God, who gives to each one generously and without reproaching, and it will be given to him. But before we'll ask God for wisdom, we must know we don't have it of ourselves. Scripture teaches quite clearly, and we know it's true, that our strength and ability for service in God's church does not come from what's in here. It comes from above. It comes from God by his grace. It is his grace which took us in the first place and remolded us. As Paul put it in the book of Romans, brought us out of death into life. And that's quite a miracle, to bring somebody from death into life. It's astounding. With his own blood, he paid our debt for us, washed away all our sins. We are now holy and righteous in his sight. It was his marvelous grace which took the likes of you and me, perhaps years ago, and grafted us right into Christ in our holy baptism. So that everything he is, I am. If he lives, I live. If he reigns, I reign. It was his grace which sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts through the gospel that made us what we are today, forgiven sinners, with a message to proclaim to the world, a message that says, for Christ's sake, you too, friend, whoever you are, stand forgiven before God. Trust his promise in the gospel and share with me the eternal comfort of eternal life. How did Luther put it one time? We are just beggars leading other beggars to the fount of life. But it is our Lord's marvelous grace which has given us something else. It has moved him to give us that instrument which we need for an effective ministry. Not a sharp mind, not even good seminaries and professors, but he has given us his word, recorded by the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. It is this word of God which can enable us poor, bumbling human beings, us sinners, to stand before God's people and preach with authority and say, this is God's word, this is what God says, without embarrassment. For God's word makes no mistakes. How did Luther put it in the catechism? I and my neighbor, in short, all men may err, but God's word can never err. It would be impossible for it to err. It is from God himself who never lies. Martin Luther once said something kind of interesting. He said, for the sins in our lives that we commit, and we all have them, we may pray for forgiveness as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But then he goes on, a preacher must never pray the Lord's Prayer nor seek the forgiveness of his sins after he's preached. For the word he has preached is not his own, nor did it come from other men such as himself. But he must rather say with Jeremiah and all the prophets, God himself says this, for it is not my word, but God's. And I suppose, friends, that's where effective ministry then begins and ends, isn't it? Now, with our great creativity, our wonderful innovations that must even astound the angels themselves, but our effectiveness begins and ends with God's Word. St. Paul, you know, advised Timothy, hold fast to the form of sound words, even those from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we are at this seminary. This is why we go to school to learn to become pastors, so we learn that word. So we learn that word more carefully and better so that we can proclaim that word and not our own. Brothers, let us this day and every day turn once again from our own wisdom, which is always seeking like an old monster to come up and control us. Let us turn from that wisdom which James describes as earthy and unspiritual and devilish and brings about in us only bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Let's turn from all that garbage. James says to God, the source of all true wisdom. And let us pray for that wisdom which is from above, which centers in our Lord Christ and the gospel of his free forgiveness. And join the universal church as she prays, grant, we implore you, Almighty God, to your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word may never be bound but have free course and be preached to the joint edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we might serve you and in the confession of your name abide to the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. To the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory, power and wisdom, now and throughout eternity. Amen.